Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting today for Maggie, who's off, and my fellow guest host, Angela Lang, is with us as usual, which is always fun for me. And I hope it's fun for you too, Angela.
Of course, yes.
Our first guest today is Victor Picard, who's a professor of media policy and political economy at the University of Pennsylvania's Annenberg School for Communications, where he co-directs the Media Inequality and Change Center. His research explores the intersections of U.S. and global media activism and politics, media history, democratic theory, and communications policy. He's the author of a couple books. One is Democracy Without Journalism, and another is America's Battle for Media Democracy. You can join our conversation at 855-752-4842 if you have a question for Victor. Victor Picard, thanks for being on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Thanks so much for having me.
You know, I wanted to start with what's been in the news most recently about the media, like Stephen Colbert being dumped from the CBS lineup. Did that surprise you? What did you make of that?
Sure. I mean, I found it shocking at first, as I'm sure many people did. But looking at the bigger picture and panning out for a moment, it's just one more data point in, you know, a number of things have happened in recent days, recent weeks that all point to the same analysis, which is there are these deep structural pathologies in our entire news media system. And, you know, this is just one symptom of these deeper problems. So that's what I've been trying to focus on, is more the bigger picture.
Well, what are those structural pathologies then?
Sure. Some of them I'm sure your listeners can guess, but compared to most democratic societies, the American media system is characterized by a handful of corporations dominating entire news media sectors. To call them oligopolies is probably overly generous. In many cases, they're duopolies or monopolies. Our media system is also relatively only lightly regulated in terms of public interest protections. That's also different compared to most democratic societies around the world. And probably the most consequential difference is that our public media system is so minuscule compared to the rest of our heavily commercialized media system. And I'm sure that's something we might get into with the recent demise of our public media. But all these problems create this kind of perfect storm for why our media system cannot withstand an authoritarian regime and can never serve democracy as much as we need.
We'll talk a little bit more about the public media being under attack. We see that NPR and PBS are getting cut. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting is shutting down. What's the significance there?
Well, it's deeply significant in terms of, I mean, to back up for a second, the U.S. was already almost literally off the chart for how little we allocated to our public media at the federal level. It came out to about $1.58 per person per year, so the price of a cheap cup of coffee. Compare that to the Brits, who spend about $100, almost $100 a year for the BBC. So, you know, we were already impoverishing our public media system compared to global norms. But now, with this recent defunding that's just come down in the last couple of weeks, and we heard on Friday that the CPB is closing up shop, that means what meager federal funding we allocate towards our public media is being thrown out the window. And this is going to disproportionately hurt rural, small, independent public media outlets across the country in places like Alaska, Wisconsin, West Texas. So it's really going to hurt, I mean, tragically, ironically, it's going to hurt people who, in areas that tend to vote for Trump in these rural areas, but they're really going to be deprived of emergency communications and any local news media whatsoever. They'll become news deserts. So this is a big problem for all of us.
One of the last things we need is more news deserts. We've got news deserts with the collapse of journalism in many parts of Wisconsin and the rest of the country, of course. And we're going to have more news deserts now, as you say, because of this cut to PBS and NPR. You wrote a recent piece in The Nation that I read where you talked about a toxic synergy between what you put as hyper-capitalist concentrated media system and the fascistic tendencies under an autocratic regime, which we're facing up close and personal right now with Donald Trump. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that toxic synergy?
Sure. Yeah. So I was already hinting at that a bit, but I think it's safe to say, and we have accumulating evidence to make this case, which is our media system is just ill-equipped to stand up to a kind of authoritarian regime like the Trump administration that has these fascistic tendencies, that's trying to crack down on whatever independent journalism we have left. And they have all these levers at their disposal. For example, a highly concentrated media system where media owners are constantly trying to get bigger. We saw this just happen with CBS and Paramount. Paramount, of course, wanting to see a merger go through. And so Sherry Redstone was willing to do just about anything, and perhaps even, cutting Stephen Colbert. We don't know that for sure, but the optics aren't good.
Certainly selling out 60 Minutes was part of the deal.
Yeah. That certainly was one of the earlier signs, absolutely. And so what we see when you have these commercial imperatives and these democratic needs facing off, the commercial imperatives will always trump democracy, to use a terrible pun. These are the perverse incentives that are driving our entire news media system. And whenever we see these crisis moments happen, there's a tendency to blame the bad CEOs or maybe some bad journalists. There's kind of a bad apples argument. But what I'm trying to do in my work and in that Nation piece that you mentioned is really try to shift our frame of analysis to focus more on these capitalist incentives, these capitalist logics that drive our media to do these kinds of things, to do these things that are so anti-democratic and have such high stakes during the political moments that we're in today, when we do have this autocratic regime running roughshod over whatever democratic norms we have left.
Yeah, I think, okay, first of all, thank you for being here, because I think this is such an important conversation, and I'm I could talk to you forever. But in that Nation piece, you said Trump's frivolous bullying shouldn't have been granted a moment's legitimacy, and yet here we are. I was like, that sums up everything, right? And I'm thinking, okay, we're outlining the challenges and the problem. We're here now. I'm not asking you to solve this giant, problem, but I'm seeing, how folks are resisting or how folks are responding to Colbert, or not to get a little crass, but the South Park episode, if folks have seen it, or at least know about it. And so I'm thinking of what is this level of resistance? How do we, you said it, and yet we're here. How do we undo some of that?
Yeah, so I'm so glad you mentioned all that, because I think it does show us that even during these dark political moments, there are these acts of courage, even throughout this hyper-commercialistic media system in which so many of us are embedded. And so even Colbert himself, as far as I know, he's not stopping his criticism. He still has a few months, a number of months left ahead of him. So you do see these acts of resistance, and we need to encourage that and try to support those acts in any way that we can. We also should just be supporting independent journalism in any way we can right now, whether it's through donations or subscriptions, or just engaging with the independent journalism that's still out there. All that said, we also have to be very clear-eyed about the limitations of hoping that these individual acts of agency will somehow get us through. And I think what our long-term agenda needs to be is much more of a structural media reform project. And again, it's going to be long-term. Some of the things that we need to do just won't happen, can't happen while Trump is still in power. But we need to start talking about those things now. The right has been so successful. I mean, look at their Project 2025. They've been planning these things for decades. So when they have these moments of opportunity, they can rush in and make things happen. And I think those of us on the left need to be better prepared and start expanding our imagination about, what is possible, what we should be doing. And one of those things is to build a new public media system to get beyond these capitalist logics that I was talking about. In my analyses, I just don't see any other way around, any other solution for the long term.
What would that new public media system look like?
Well, the first step is to simply raise our current funding mechanisms to the level of global norms. So if we were spending roughly $100 per person per year towards our public media, we could have something amazing. We could have the BBC on steroids, like a truly democratic. And that's the second thing that needs to happen. It's not just throwing money at PBS and NPR. I mean, we know those of us, you know, left of center have been critical of public media for forever. It's been a very imperfect system. Much of that is because it has been so dependent on private capital, on even corporate sponsorships. We've never given them enough public investments. But if we could get those public investments up to the level where they need to be and then focus on democratizing to make sure that those public media outlets are actually accountable to local communities that aren't just public in name, but are actually owned and controlled by the public, by local communities. So that, you know, that's not going to happen tomorrow. But if we start putting that on our political horizon, it's something we can start working towards now.
You know, none of this is going to happen tomorrow. So the question is, you know, how do we get to tomorrow? And what do we do, you know, facing this authoritarian fascist bully and his regime on top of the capitalist incentives that have so distorted our media so far? Basically, how do we get from here to there?
Well, having these kinds of conversations certainly helps. And I think one of the ways that we need to kind of disabuse ourselves of the kind of power that Trump seems to have right now. I mean, in many ways, we should see him as a lame duck presidency, right? He should not be in power much longer. And we can't be obeying in advance. We can't be afraid to make controversial statements. We have to challenge his power on every front. And that means we need to have this kind of media strategy where, you know, we have this kind of adversarial media. Much easier said than done, but that's, I think, step one.
And maybe step two or three is to be prepared when he loses power or when people get sick and tired, finally, of what we've been facing here, and then to have a possibility of not just a trickle of reform, but a torrent of reform already kind of laid out. And that's what you were talking about, Victor, some analogy to Project 2025, or at least on the media front. I know you're laying out some of that. Tell us how that would proceed, though.
So, I mean, maybe we need a Project 2050 for media reform. You know, we definitely need to have a long-term project in focus. And that, I think, some of the mistakes or some of the limitations in earlier media reform efforts were focused so much on the corporate media in terms of their monopolistic ownership structures, right? The idea that it's only because there are these big media corporations, if we just break them up, things will get better. And I think we need to be more ambitious in trying to work towards structural alternatives. It looks like I might be getting the pause.
Yeah, that's just the one. That's the 1 minute.
Yeah, if you could just okay. We're going to take a commercial break. This is commercial radio, and we'll be right back with Victor Picard, professor of media studies at UPenn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. She's Angela Lang. And I hope you'll join our conversation here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.